So we met Matt Volbricht on a listserv. Jane Degenshine is always talking about joining listservs, how important they are. Well, I joined the iDevices listserv about 4 years ago, and on a tech division call in June, we had Denny Huff speaking to us about gatewayfortheblind.com, and he did a great job. And then Matt decided to have free lessons and teachings, and I reached out to him. And I said, would you like to be on a tech call? Sure. So he was on my September 24th tech call. How many of you were on that call in September?
Yeah.
I reached out to him again and said, what do you know about NFB? Not much. I said, how would you like to come to the convention and we'll show you what we're about and you can show us what you're about. He said, sold. So here is Matt, and other than if I didn't have the listserv, I wouldn't have even known about him, Matt Volbricht.
Good afternoon. And I do want to thank you, Jane, and everyone for the invitation. It is truly an honor to be here today, and I am absolutely thrilled about the mission of the NFB, about your cause, what's important to you. I think it's an absolutely invaluable thing, and so you all ought to be very, very proud of what you stand for and what you're doing. Give yourselves a hand before we get started. So, I've got some exciting stuff to share with you today, but before we do that, I'd like to give you just a very little bit of a background about myself and the company that I run, just so you have a little bit of an idea of sort of where I come from and why I'm here, I guess, maybe. So I started out as a child. No. Wrong. Now, how many of you can remember those times in life when you experienced newfound independence? Yeah. We've all had them. I've had a few of them in my life related to daily living and travel and other things. But one of those things that I can really remember that stands out is when I got my very first iPod Nano. It was back in 2008. And for the first time, it was accessible. I received it from my parents as a birthday present, and I remember being able to pick my own songs, use the click wheel, everything like that. And three things stood out to me. Number one, I was using the same kind of device that all of my peers were using. Right? So no longer did we have these unique things that cost about $2,300 on a good day and really looked nothing like what everyone else was doing. You know, we're now doing the exact same things. That was the first thing. The second thing was that I didn't require extensive training. Now, this one is different for everybody because it just depends on how you learn. But I really was never a fan of, and I won't mention any names, but I was never a fan of the companies that shipped, you know, 11 hours worth of training materials with their stuff. I just didn't, that wasn't me. And I wanted to be able to have you teach me the same way you taught my sighted peers and family and friends and everything, and I'd figure it out. And with Apple, with the iPod Nano, I was able to do that. And the third thing, of course, which we already addressed, it was that newfound sense of independence that you can do something for the first time that you could never do before without help. And that's very difficult to even quantify that or even to put it into words. And so I told my parents that day that was the best birthday present that I had received. Little did they know, thanks to what Apple's done, there have been many more birthday presents similar to this. I started using a Macintosh shortly after that, then the iPhone and the iPad, and the rest is history. But in the middle of all that, with my tech company, which used to be a Windows company, in about 2009, I made a decision to completely abandon the Windows platform and embrace Apple through and through. And what I do, and it is the mission of my company, which is called the Tech Juggernaut, by the way, remember it. The mission of the Tech Juggernaut is to make the use of 21st century technology an enjoyable, positive, productive, and beneficial experience for everybody, whether it's in life, learning, work, or play. And we do this through demos, through advice, through support, and through training. And so that's kind of where we're at. And because focus, that is razor sharp, is truly the way to be able to do what you love and do it well, that's exactly what the Tech Juggernaut is about. We only recommend and work with the products that we personally love and use ourselves. We are not just another search engine. There are plenty of companies out there, and they're great companies. Nothing against them. There need to be these companies in this world. But, you know, you can go to those companies and you can buy an iPhone as well as buying a Samsung Galaxy. You can buy an iPad as well as buying an Android tablet. Not so with TTJ, and I'm proud of that, because that's not the company that I want to be. I want to be the company that says, buy this because I use it every single day, and I love it. And you're going to love it too. And if you don't, I'm going to help you to learn to love it. So that's what we're about, and as Jenny already mentioned, we are offering several free training courses, and I'm hoping you'll stop by the table to learn more about those free training courses. There's still room in some of them. You can sign up. We do them remotely. Some of you on the conference, you heard about it, but we do. We do them through the Zoom Cloud Meetings platform. We do them through iTunes University, and they are completely free. And we want to just help as many people as we can and change lives as much as we can. We do also offer other paid services as well, so again, we just hope you'll stop by the table and learn more about that. What I'd like to use the rest of this time for is to give you a few demos, and I'm so excited about the presenter we just heard, because what a great lead-in it was when he was talking about the new features of iOS 12, like screen time, so that everybody knows how much they're using their devices and can control various aspects of that use, like group notifications. So that you can choose whether or not you want to be presented with all of your notifications or just see a summary of them. Features like these and like many others that he already talked about. And so what an awesome lead-in that was. I have a few tidbits that I would like to give you today. And some of them are specific to iOS 12, but others are not. And I'd like to actually start out with the calendar. Because I have seen a lot of folks who have iPads and iPhones, and they use them, and they rave about them, and they love them, but then when it comes time to write down an appointment or an event, they turn to their Braille note, or to their Perkins Brailler, or to their voice recorder. And I mean, that's fine. People do what they do. It's personal preference. But I want to show you just how powerful and how awesome the calendar really is. Now, I'm not going to be able to do everything with the calendar today, but I'm going to just do a couple of little things here. And I have a device that I think is... I'm sorry about that. We'll use the iPad. I'm not going to use the iPad yet, actually. I'm going to use the phone first. Where did we put that Beats pill, Andrew? Is that still up on this chair here, maybe? Yep, it is. All right, good. So we're going to, we have a little Bluetooth speaker here. It's hopefully going to do the job of at least being somewhat loud, and if not, we'll use the microphone. Now, I'd like to show you two things about the calendar, and the one is going to require the use of the iPad. And the first thing that I'd like to show you about is the travel times in the calendar, so that your events can really become customized to your life. Now, I'm going to go into my iPhone, and I've not enabled the speaker yet, because when you do this, of course, as you know, there's a little bit of latency over Bluetooth, which really is not that bad, but when you're trying to present and have a limited time to do so, you don't want to mess with any latency where you don't need it. So I'm going to start the event creation process without the Bluetooth speaker on. I have my iPhone 10 here. I actually am planning to get the 10R. Great job on the explanation of those different devices and so forth. And I am looking forward to the 10R very soon. I'll be financing mine through Sprint. Okay. Now, this is NFP. There should be some applause. Let's try that again, please. I'll be financing mine through Sprint. That's why I was looking for applause. Exactly. Because you all know that Sprint gives its qualifying customers a free copy of KNFB Reader.
That's right. Oh,
That's pretty exciting. Not to mention they've got some great unlimited plans at great prices, and I can lease my device and get a new one every year, so I'm not spending the cost of a firstborn every year, as someone said, on my phone, but I'm getting the latest and the greatest. So I'm looking forward to my 10R coming in just a few short weeks. Anyhow, I digress. We're going to look at the calendar, and I'm going to start an event here. We are going to, we're just going to hit add, and I'm just going to type in the title of the event, and I'm just going to put test, because who really cares at the moment? Okay? So, in my title, event title is now test. Now we're going to go ahead, and we're going to turn on the speaker. See if that helps a little, hopefully. And as you can hear,
RT.
Okay. So
Tango, cancel new ad button.
My title of my
text field is editing test.
Event
mode,
is test. Alright, we don't need to hear that. Okay. Moving on, what I want to show you is that you can input into the next field.
Clear text. Test event. Home today.
Now first of all, here's an interesting thing that you just saw. If everybody heard what that was, it said test event home today. What is happening there is that Siri is so intuitive, because I've done test events before for other reasons, to teach people things with the calendar, and I'm usually at home when I do them, and it thinks I want to create this same event, and so Siri is making a suggestion based on past behavior. We heard just a little about that before with Siri and with the example about getting breakfast from Dunkin' Donuts and so forth. Well, here's the same idea. Siri is anticipating what it is that I want to do and making a suggestion already. If you have a conversation with someone in a text message or an email where they say to you, how about lunch tomorrow at Pizza Hut at noon? When you go into your calendar and create a new event, it's going to suggest that you add lunch with whoever that person was at Pizza Hut at noon. It's very, very intuitive, and it's very intelligent. We are going to move on. And as you can hear, that field right there,
location,
that's the field that I want to talk about. If I double tap that,
select search field is editing.
I can now search for locations. I can search for addresses. I can search for names of places. Let's see if there's anything in here that
current location.
There's the current location.
Recent.
Here's some recents.
Everett Area Elementary School, 165.
Okay, so that's my daughter's elementary school. We'll just say that the test event is at that school, because why not? So I'm going to double tap that. Now again, I could have searched for a location by name, or I could have input an address. I could have used a contact name if I have somebody's address in my contacts. But the point is that once I do this,
Everett Area Element, clear text, all day, switch button, off.
I have the option of making this
to toggle setting.
An all-day event.
Starts November 1st, 2018, 3 p.m.
Of course, I can
double tap
to change that with the date picker. Yes, I leave the hints on. That's a soapbox of mine. I highly recommend leaving your hints on, because you never know what may change from one version to another. And sometimes those voiceover hints are the best way to learn. So I highly encourage the use of those hints.
End.
We can set the end time of the event, but look at
repeat.
Okay,
none.
I skipped over the repeat field, because you can set up custom repeats, or you can pick every week, every month, different types of things. The one I'm looking at here says
Travel time.
Right now there's none. But if I double tap on this,
travels, new event, back button, travel time, heading, travel time, switch button, off.
I can turn this on.
Double on.
Now,
starting location, 515 microseconds, highway 1S, button.
Okay, that's where we are. And if I look at this,
select a starting location to automatically determine travel time, or select a time below.
All right, so you just heard what I wanted you to hear. Select a starting location to automatically determine travel time. So what I can do is I can create an event and then be automatically notified when it is time to leave for that event based on where I'm currently at, as well as based on current traffic conditions. This is really big, because when I'm creating my events, how do I know what the traffic is? How do I know when to leave? And so this feature allows me to have all of that predetermined for me without having to worry about it. So that is travel time in the Apple calendar.
That is cool.
Now, of course, you can also set up multiple alerts. You can invite people to your event. I didn't show you all of that because I want to try to get more stuff in than just that.
Right.
But you can invite people to your event. You can share it with family members. You can have a calendar that people can subscribe to. So there's a lot more that you can do with that. The other thing that I want to do, and I'm going to use the iPad momentarily, but I don't want to use precious presenting time switching which device this Beats Pill is paired to. So we're going to save the iPad for what I consider to be a more important demo in a few minutes. But I do want to tell you that when you are looking through your calendar, as you know, you can ask Siri when a particular event is. When is my dentist appointment? When is my lunch with Fred? Whatever the case may be, you can ask those types of questions. What if I really do want to look through the calendar? And the generic answer is stop by the table and I'll show you more in depth. But I want to tell you that if you have an iPad, there is a feature in the rotor. Everybody knows what the rotor is, right?
Yep.
There is a feature in the rotor when you're set up in week view in the calendar on the iPad, and it's called events. And guess what happens? When I set that rotor to events, I can simply swipe up and down to go through every single event on my calendar for that week. Want to move on to the next week? I just swipe three fingers to the left. Now I'm on the following week. Again, set the rotor to events, swipe up and down. It is so easy. It has never been easier to find events that matter to you in your calendar.
Matt, Tony here.
Hi.
Sorry, quick question. Why is that not on the iPhone?
Yeah,
that sounds like a feature that could be easily put universally on all the devices.
Yeah, I mean, I imagine maybe at some point it will. I the only thing I can say right now is that it is an iPad feature, and probably it has a lot to do with what you're seeing, because you can set up the iPhone in a list view so that you can just swipe left and right to see the dates, but where you have the iPad, you know, you've got that beautiful screen with all of the whole calendar on it, and so to swipe through hour by hour is more challenging, I think, in a case like that, and that may be the reason. I can't speak for Apple. And
to a surface area.
Right, right.
Yeah,
so that is a quick demo of the calendar, of a couple of the calendar features. The next feature that I'd like to show you is a couple of features. Let me just cancel out of this, and we're not going to create that test event. What we are going to do is we are going to talk about a couple of features related to the home screen. And I'd like to start out with Control Center. And so it was mentioned today about the new Do Not Disturb customization options, which are really amazing. And what an important thing. I'm glad you brought that up, because it's so cool that I can set Do Not Disturb now so that it will be for a period of time. So I can still schedule Do Not Disturb from settings, and I can still have that happen every night or whatever, and then that goes with the bedtime feature. But now I can also manually, on the fly, I can say, well, I need Do Not Disturb on for 1 hour, or I need it on until I leave this location. Or if you're like me and you have a recurring event, like, for example, we go to church most every Sunday, and if we have that on our calendar, and so when I get to church, I just do this Do Not Disturb, and I have an option in there that says until the end of this event, because it looks at my calendar and it knows that I am in the middle of an event. But how do I get those options? And what about other unique options that I might not have realized are available? So we're going to go into the Control Center. We're going to do that using one of these new gestures that were discussed here with the iPhone X. I'm going to put the mic down because it's a little easier to do this gesture with two hands. I don't think most of you really are going to find that I need a mic to be heard.
You're right.
My wife will agree with that anyhow. We're going to do a quick one-finger swipe down from the top right corner to get into Control Center. And I'm going
to double tap to open Control Center, airplane mode, switch button, off.
Now what I want to show you is that if I go, and it was actually going to tell me, and I interrupted Alex, sorry Alex, he was going to do a nice job of telling me, use 3D Touch. So whether you have a device that supports 3D Touch or not, if not it could be a double tap and hold, you might see it in the cider community as a long press, it doesn't matter, it works the same way, and it invokes
context options for the specific thing that you're on. For example, if I go over to Wi-Fi.
Select Wi-Fi, searching, switch button, on.
Okay, and I do a.
Use 3D touch to show more controls. Double tap to toggle settings.
Do a double tap and
down.
Okay, thank you very much. Do a double tap and hold on that, or a 3D touch.
Airplane mode, cellular data, Wi-Fi, Bluetooth, AirDrop, personal hotspot, not discoverable, personal hotspot.
So you heard, instead of just an on and off toggle now, there became six options available by doing a long press or a 3D touch on that. Airplane mode, Wi-Fi, Bluetooth, cellular data, personal hotspot, and AirDrop. All of those features now I can access because I did a long press on that icon. So now let's put that into context and talk about how it works with Do Not Disturb in iOS 12.
Airplane mode, blue sweet previous plus.
I'm just going to go over to my
Do Not Disturb switch button on.
Okay.
Use 3D.
Now I'm going to do a 3D touch on this. If I just double tap it, it turns it on or off. It just toggles the setting. But if I do a 3D touch on it.
Do not disturb, heading.
Now watch this.
For 1 hour, button. Until this evening, button. Until I leave this location, button. Schedule, button.
So all of those options are now available to me, and I can pick any one of those options by simply double tapping on it. And that is 3D touch or long press in the control center. Never underestimate the use of long press because it is such an invaluable resource. It's such a good way to get additional options. For example, what if I have, this is not anything to, nothing to do with the home screen, but let's just say,
page 2 of Safari,
that I'm in Safari, and I suddenly realize that I have 27 tabs open. What do I do about that if I don't want 27 tabs open? Which really, I don't usually care, but here's a cool thing.
Show bookmarks, tabs, button.
Bottom of the screen on an iPhone, top left on your iPad, you're going to find a tabs button, among other things, back, forward, and things like that. Again, I can double tap this to open it up and to get all of the tabs that I have, including iCloud tabs, by the way, meaning that if I have more than one Apple device, I'm on my iPhone, I can also see what's on my iPad. The last tabs that I have used on my iPad are available as well through iCloud. But if I just want to close all 27 tabs, I don't think I really have 20, I don't know how many I have open. We're about to find out. I just 3D touch or long press, double tap and hold, whatever, on this tabs button.
Tabs button.
And I think this one actually has to be.
Button. New tab, done.
Yeah, I think this one actually has to be a.
Tabs button. Alert, close all 20 tabs.
I wasn't actually that far off, was I? And so there I can, in just one gesture, I can...
Address, search or enter website name.
All 20 tabs are now closed.
Wow.
How cool is that?
Yeah. So whenever what I...
When you say a long press, you mean double tap and hold.
Right, it's a double tap and hold, but if you have an iPhone 6S or newer, except for the XR, you can actually do like a force press, like you tap and then press deeper into the icon to get context options as well. So it's just an additional way to do it, but it's kind of splitting hairs really, and in that particular instance, I think I actually had to double tap and hold. I don't think when I tried it a second ago that the 3D touch actually really worked. There are a lot of other...
401.
And what I really want to do, because if I'm calculating right, I got about 15 minutes left.
20.
Oh, well, that's very nice of you. Thank you. But I still, what I want to do is I want to give some time for questions, but you know, so I want to say to you, there's a lot of other demos that we could show you and that I'd love to show you at the table. I've got a couple more yet, though, but there's a lot of them that I could show you. Things, for example, like autofill on the keyboard, and this was mentioned a few minutes ago in the previous presentation when he was talking about iCloud Keychain, but I want you to know how powerful this is. Because iCloud Keychain stores all of your sensitive data, including your contact information, credit card information, usernames, and passwords, and makes it available only when you need it. It's stored with 128-bit encryption, so it's very secure. As long as you use a good, strong password and two-factor authentication on your Apple ID, you are good to go. And then when I'm filling out a form, I can't tell you how many people have said to me, It is so hard for me.
402.
Sorry.
I can't tell you how many people have said to me, it's so hard for me to use an iOS device full time because I cannot fill out online forms. And the first thing I would say to you is, get some training from the tech juggernaut, because we may be able to help you with that. But beyond that, and I'm somebody who uses an iPad full time. One of the courses we teach is replacing your traditional computer with an iPad. I use it for everything, from designing ebooks and websites to word processing to, of course, the more simple stuff like watching movies and you know, listening to music and things of that nature, web browsing, all of it. But the thing that I would say to you is that one of your best allies when it comes to filling out forms is autofill. Because if you go into an edit field for a form, let's say you're creating a new account on a website, you're going to do some shopping and you need to have an account, you go to the first field there, oftentimes it's first name or name or what have you, you double tap in it as if you're going to type. What you're going to want to do, whether it's iPhone or iPad, is place your finger sort of right where the letters I and O are, but just above them. Or another way you could do it, if you're not comfortable with that, is to swipe to the Q, the letter Q, and then swipe to the left further. And what you're going to find is you're going to find options for autofill contact. Now, you'll also find a predictive option, usually.
Status, all right.
Sorry, that was my fault. You'll also find a predictive option usually for the particular field you're in. Like if I'm in the first name field, I might see a quick type suggestion for my first name. But more importantly than that, I'm going to see a button that says autofill contact. I double tap that, and any of the information that I've put into my contact, it will now autofill that whole form. My name, my address, my phone number, my email address, all of those things will be automatically filled in for me. If I've already created the account, I can do that with my password. And as the gentleman mentioned, iOS will now create strong passwords for you and automatically store them in your keychain. So you're not reusing old passwords and putting your own security and privacy at risk. But when I am ready to pay for something, same deal. I can go into the field, I can say autofill credit card, just a little button up there. And when I do that, it's going to ask me to authenticate, of course, because we're not going to put that information out there for just anybody. So I'm going to have to use either Touch ID, Face ID, or my device passcode. And as soon as I do that, everything about the credit card is filled in automatically except the three or four digit security code, which is deliberate. They want you to enter that manually. So I've taken what can sometimes be multiple steps in a form and condensed it to about a 5-second process. The important thing about this is to making sure that your contact for you and that all of your information is properly included in your contact card so that the device has as much access to it as it can. And did you know, speaking of contacts, that you can also put relationships in your contacts? So that, for example, and I hope that this will work using the Beats pill, I'm going to take it out of its case to improve its chances. This could be a total flop because, as we said, the microphones on the devices themselves are usually the best way, but we're going to be a risk taker today. Your pill is usually pretty good. I'm a fan. Okay. And I can... Let's get out of that. Okay. Because of the relationships in the contacts, I can say something like... When is my wife's birthday?
Interesting question.
Well, that didn't work so well. When is my wife's birthday?
Sorry, Matt. I don't see any matches in your contacts.
Oh, you're in trouble.
I am in trouble. I don't know why. Now, that's never happened before. So...
She did that on purpose.
Yeah, I think she did. I don't know if it's that it's not hearing me properly or that there's some temporary... You know, Siri is managed server-side, so it won't take a software update.
What's your girlfriend?
Let's find... Yeah. Let's just... yeah, let's hope not. Let's... When is my son's birthday?
Which son? Kylie Vollbrecht or Carson Vollbrecht?
Carson.
It's March 29th.
Okay, there we go. It may have been the Beats pill. I do have you in there, hon, honestly. I don't know what was over there. But it may have been. It seemed to work. Other than not knowing that Kylie is not a boy and thinking that she's one of my sons, Siri actually did pretty well there that time. So my point in all that was to fill out your contact as completely as you can with relationships, with nickname, with home address, all of those kinds of things. Because if I have my home address, I can say, how long will it take me to get home?
Traffic to home is light, so I'm estimating 3 hours and 55 minutes via I-76 West.
Ooh. So there you go. So a lot of information that you can do. So we could, you know, we could demo things like that. We could demo how to do spell check, ladies and gentlemen, in iOS. You do know there is a full spell check in iOS, right?
Yeah.
Okay. You can spell check in apps like Messages, Mail, and Notes. You can spell check in Apple Pages.
How do you do that?
How do you do that?
Well,
happy to teach you. Yeah, very quickly though, the way there is two different ways. When you're in an app like Messages or Notes, the way that you do it is to set the rotor to misspelled words. You want to be at the beginning of your document. I found that that works the best. Set the rotor to misspelled words, then you're going to swipe up and down to go through your misspellings and swipe left and right to choose a replacement. Double tap on the one that you want. When you are in an app like Pages, you have to set the rotor to edit when you're on a misspelling, and it will show you the replacements. It's a little bit different right now in Pages, but Pages is fully accessible. And here again, so much we could show you. Speaking of notes, we could show you how to make checklists in your notes. We could show you how to work collaboratively with others and share those notes with other people so that both of you can be working on the same note. How to pin important notes to the top of the notes list so that you never lose track of where they are. How to lock your important notes so that they are secure. But the thing that I want to show you as my final demo before we take a couple questions, hopefully, if we have time, is I want to show you something that I think is just completely revolutionary. This, to me, is the clincher that makes it possible to use the iPad full-time as a productivity device. I'm going to ask my son, whose birthday we just identified a moment ago, if he'll come up here, because I need two hands to do this.
Let's hear it for Corson.
Yay! Yay!
Hey, Cup. Tell them what Apple devices you have while I get my iPad out. Hold this one over here.
Well,
yeah.
Say none for the bus.
Joe, you are an instigator. I can
see. He knows we're ready.
iPhone 10 S.
Well.
You have an iPhone what?
X.
Yeah, you have a 10.
Mm-hmm. I have an iPad. Which one is it?
Well, you have an iPad Pro 9.7.
Yeah.
Which I previously had, and now I bought the new 6th generation iPad. It's like half the price with the same power as some of the latest models, so it's really a good thing. Carson, come on this side of me, if you would, on the left here. I want you to hold the mic up to the speaker, okay? Okay. What I want to do, folks, is I want to send a note to someone in an email. I don't really, but I'm going to pretend I do. Okay? Now, you know there is a dock on the iPad. It is a persistent dock, meaning I can get it any time. On the left-hand side of my dock, I have the default icons, but I could add more if I wanted to or change them.
Dock, messages, Safari, music, mail, 200
then here's this
files.
Files app, which is kind of the separator. Then on the right-hand side, I have the most recent or suggested apps.
Suggestions, calendar, contacts, any list.
Okay, any list, a great grocery list app, by the way. Anyhow, what I'm going to do is open notes
home,
so that
maps,
it
notes.
Is on the dock.
Notes, full folders, back button.
Okay. Let's go down and see if it's on the dock.
Suggestion, any list, cont, notes.
There it is. Okay. What I want to do is I'm going to go into mail.
Dock, mail, 200.
I'm going to create
mail
a new.
Mailboxes, back message.
All right. I'm going to create a new mail message.
Checking for move, delete, reply, compose button to text field
okay.
Is edited.
You heard it say compose. I'm not going to bother putting in an email address because we're not really going to send this and I'm limited on time. I'm going to go right to the message body.
Subject message body set for
double
insertion
tap.
Point at end, insertion point at start.
Okay. I'm about to perform a really cool gesture. It's a short slide up from the bottom
and then it's an immediate slide back down, all in one gesture. You leave your finger there, and it's going to make a little sound, and it's going to make the dock appear out of nowhere. There it is.
Dock, mail, 241 unread email.
I still have my, I need to check my email. I still have my app open, my mail app, but at the bottom, I have the dock. I'm going to go over to Notes, which is on the dock, because we just put it there by opening the Notes app.
Any contact notes.
Okay. I'm going to use the rotor.
Pin notes to the left.
That's what I want to do. I want to pin notes to the left.
Pin notes to the left.
I'm going to double tap on that.
Notes on left, mail on right, message body.
You heard it correctly. I'm using two apps at once now. Ooh. On the left-hand side, I've got my Notes app.
Notes. View note button. This note is locked. Share note. Lock. iCloud. iCloud.
Okay, well,
back
go
button.
Back, that was
iCloud.
Locked
message
note, but
body.
That's okay. Now I should be.
Notes. Important. Sweetwater.
Okay. That's my list of notes. On the right hand side, I have my.
Message body. Sent.
Message body with the email. At the top of the screen.
Minimize draft. Minimize draft notes.
It takes a little bit to find this.
Action split view divider.
I have the split view divider where I can resize each app using the rotor. I'm going to make them 50-50.
Resize to half the screen. Message body.
Okay, they're each taking up the same amount of screen real estate now. I'm going to find a note on the left-hand side. Try it that way a little bit more so they can hear just a little bit better. And I'm going to find a note on the left.
Notes. Important readings. Sweetwater. Correct password. 2000. Snack baking instructions.
Ah, let's say we want to send some snack baking instructions. You can all see my snacking habits. I'm going to use the rotor on that note. I'm going to swipe down once.
Pin note.
No, I'm going to actually keep swiping. I should have swiped up.
Delete. Move. Add lock. Unpin. Add lock.
We'll
to note. Move. Delete note. Drag item.
Drag item. I'm going to double tap on that. I'm going to move over to the right side of the screen to the message body.
Message body.
Double tap.
Set for my eye. Message body. Text field. Insertion point at start.
Set the rotor to actions.
Actions. Drop. Drop ready.
Double tap drop.
Drop complete.
Done. Look at my message.
Spring rolls. Message body. Snack baking instructions.
Cool. And we have just drug a note from the Notes app to the Mail app using two apps simultaneously.
Wow.
This is absolutely incredible, folks.
Carson, a hand, please help. So, whether I want to have two websites open at the same time, a word processing app and the web so I can be reading something and typing it or copying the text, or whether I want to even have a video playing in the background as a small little picture-in-picture window at the same time, I can do all of that on the iPad. So I am super excited about that, and it's one of the things that really inspired me to teach these free courses because it truly can be a complete desktop replacement. Thousands and thousands of apps out there geared towards both education as well as consumers and businesses. A lot of apps that are helpful to us who can't see and so much more. So I want to just very quickly, if there's any time left, take any questions that we have, and then I'm going to have to refer you to the table if you want to go beyond that.
Any questions?
Liz Morgan.
Liz Morgan.
Hi, Liz.
Hi. That, what you were just talking about, the drag and all, is that only for the iPad?
That is iPad only, yes.
Oh, man, too bad.
Now, you can drag within an app on select apps on the iPhone. For example, one note to another. You can do some of that. But this true drag and drop, like if I want to drag a photo into an email or those types of things, that's iPad only.
You just haven't got the surface area to do it on an iPad.
Yeah, that's true.
Don't forget, say your name, we're recording.
Any other questions? Not comments, we're doing questions now.
I have a question. What is your wife's date of her birthday?
Well, you know, if Siri would have told me. No, her birthday is October 17th. We actually are about to, we were just 9 days apart, our birthdays are.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, yeah.
If there's no other questions, I'd like to thank Matt.